doubt, we got knocked to the mat, but we have to get back up for Madison. We're just lacing up for the fight. Thanks for tuning back in. I'm Paul Showens, and this is round two of the fight. We left off last episode with the introduction of our Hope Warrior, Madison, and the closest members of her team. Now, I need to give you some idea of what we're fighting against, and the best way to do that is by telling you her background. Madison's my firstborn. She was born via C-section. Not due to any complications, but because it had taken 18 hours, and everyone involved was exhausted. Madison came into the world beautiful and perfect. That's how she remained throughout her first year. It was around 18 months when we and other people began to notice that something was kind of off. She hadn't started to walk yet. It concerned us and we addressed it with the pediatrician. They disregarded it. By 2 years of age, Madison was still barely walking, so we pressed the issue again with her doctors. This time they at least scheduled an evaluation with physical and occupational therapists. The therapists concluded that Madison was doing okay. They deemed her normal, but on the low end of the scale. Kylie, her little sister, had arrived at this point, so we had our hands full with both of the girls. At this point, Madison is 4 years old and preschool is looming over us. Kylie has hit the terrible twos and it's glaringly obvious that something isn't right with Madison's development. There are a great many things that Kylie can do that Madison still cannot. Madison's unable to climb the stairs by herself. She can't get on the toilet unassisted. She can't hold a crayon properly. For Christ's sake, the poor kid isn't able to jump off the ground at all. She cannot use playground equipment on her own. The list goes on and on. As if the physical limitations weren't bad enough, now Madison had also developed some vomiting issues. She would randomly just throw up without warning. The pediatrician insisted it was a stomach bug. That was unacceptable, and we would not stand for that excuse. We pushed back, hard, and they finally referred us to a GI doctor. A gastric emptying study was performed and found some delayed gastric emptying. Finally, we got a diagnosis. Cyclical vomiting syndrome, also known as stomach migraines. Apparently, these are flare-ups that send the gastric system into distress and cause the vomiting. But here's the kicker. Madison will randomly have an episode, throw up, and it's done. She feels fine and goes about her business. It's the weirdest thing ever. The poor kid has to sleep with a plastic throw-up bucket within arm's reach every night. But she's a champ. Doesn't faze her in the least. This is just her reality. The worst we ever had to experience was an episode that hit in a restaurant. We took the family out to dinner at Spaghetti Warehouse. Everybody was having a great time. We treated the kids for being good and let them have chocolate milk with their spaghetti. All was good until we were getting ready to leave. As Kristen was putting Madison's coat on, the kid looked up at her and blurts out, "I'm going to be sick." Luckily, we had a takeout container on hand. The poor girl completely filled the container as she stood in the middle of a crowded dining room, all eyes on her. I could see the tears filling her eyes. Whether she understood it or not, the embarrassment burned inside of her, her mother, and me. And we were helpless to make her feel better. What the hell kind of life is that for a poor child? But I digress. So with this diagnosis, we at least had some leverage for a reevaluation. This time, the school district pursued an evaluation. Good. It was in our home, and I experienced it myself for the first time. The last ones were overseen by Kristen. She couldn't miss work for this one. So, let me tell you, it's difficult to sit and watch someone scrutinize your baby girl while you sit idly by and can do nothing to help her. It's really heartbreaking and absolutely torturous. As expected, Madison qualified for occupational therapy and physical therapy. She would receive her therapy twice a week in our home. This is where we meet two more of our corner women. Both of these women have exceeded their roles as therapists and have become family to us. Madison wouldn't be where she is without these two angels, and I'm eternally grateful for them coming into our lives. First up, we have Carly. Carly's our physical therapist. She's a wonderful young woman who's cheerful and boisterous. She will keep the sessions light and enjoyable, but has no problem laying down the law when needed. She knows how to push Madison to exceed her abilities, all the while deflecting Kylie's distracting insanity. Next up was Melissa, our occupational therapist. Another godsend from Madison. Lissa, as the girls call her, is a ball of energy and fun. She handles all of our challenges with a smile and brings out the best in everyone around her. She's also the one who introduced us to Chocolate. Oh, you don't know Chocolate? Here, have a listen. Mama, she say, roll it for the papa, he say, holy moly, everybody want a chocolate. All the girls for candy, candy, all the boys get ready, ready, everybody want a chocolate.
Come on!
Choco,
clap, clap,
choco,
clap, clap, everybody say a chocolate.
Here we go!
Choco,
clap, clap,
choco,
clap, clap, everybody say a chocolate.
And imagine that on a loop. That was 6 months of our life. But I digress. The entire family adores these two women, and they've gone so far beyond therapists, they're family. Unfortunately, these two haven't been Madison's therapist since she started going to Elmcrest, but we still see them on a regular basis. It was very early on in the process when Carly recommended a neurological evaluation. This threw us way off. Like a left hook out of nowhere. The thought of it left us reeling. We got the appointment lined up and went to see what they had to say. That's when we met Dr. Havernick. Havernick is a unique woman running her own practice from a tiny office in a business park tucked away in East Syracuse. Every visit to the office has been, let's say, an experience. Don't get me wrong, I don't dislike the woman. She has done her best for us and she would go on to steer us into important directions for Madison, but you can usually count on the fact that each appointment's going to start late. Usually around 20 minutes or so. Communication with the staff is a hurdle, to say the least. But more on that in future episodes. It was during that initial visit that she recommended an MRI. Her reasoning being the cyclical vomiting and the fact that we do not have a family history of migraines. How's that related? Let me explain. Migraines aren't just in your head. They can manifest abdominally as well. When this happens, it can cause the vomiting episodes. So Kristen got Madison into an open MRI appointment at an office right down the street from us. The machine is apparently quite imposing, but as is always the case, Madison was a champ. She followed directions perfectly and made it through the test easily. Now, just to wait for the results. Those results came back and it wasn't the best news. They found abnormalities in Madison's brain. The MRI shows very decreased myelin in Madison's brain. Myelin is the white matter that covers nerve fibers. Its job is to insulate and aid in the proper function of the nervous system and increase the speed at which impulses are conducted. These kinds of abnormalities are typically associated with multiple sclerosis, but they don't seem to think that this is the case here. However, Dr. Havernick is quick to admit that she doesn't know anything about this and needs to study up on it. Just what a parent wants to hear from a specialist. So, she ordered more testing. A lot more tests. Lots of blood work, urine testing to make sure that there wasn't any metabolic syndromes going on. Thankfully, there isn't. We returned to see Havernick again. She didn't have any answers for us. Honestly, she kind of seems done with it. Like, she just threw her hands up and said, nope. It looks like it's above her pay grade now. She really wants us to go to Johns Hopkins in Baltimore for a neurological consult as well as another MRI with contrast. That means we need to put Madison under anesthesia this time. Let me stress that for you. We need to put my little girl to sleep. I've got to tell you, I'm not real keen on that idea. What is it like facing down the very real possibility of watching your child fade into unconsciousness with the potential that she may never wake up? Well, we'll cover that next time. Join me back here next month for episode 3 on The Ropes. Until then, I'm Paul Showens, and we're just lacing up for the fight.